We've been awash in violent hate incidents recently. They have been on the uptick. Some of them exposed in Documenting Hate Charlottesville, a film produced by Frontline and the nonprofit newsroom ProPublica. We remember white nationalists carrying torches and chanting White Lives Matter at the 2017 Charlottesville rally that left one person dead.
I arrived in Charlottesville for what would become the largest gathering of white supremacists in a generation. They called it Unite the Right, and it was drawing individuals from at least 35 states. In a matter of moments, hundreds of neo-Nazis and white supremacists assembled and marched on the university.
White lives matter! White lives matter!
The documentary evolved from the project Documenting Hate, a partnership between ProPublica and more than 100 media organizations across the country, to take in tips about hate crimes and bias and vet them. Rachel Glickhouse is the partner manager for that project. Rachel, how did it come about?
So we also noticed the uptick in hate incidents after the election, and we wanted to get a better sense of how many hate crimes happen on a regular basis. But what we found is that the data is really, really bad. So we decided to basically take this investigative, collaborative approach to reporting on this really important topic.
You're sort of crowdsourcing reporting on hate crimes?
Absolutely. We have a form that our partners share and we have on our site where people can write into us and tell us if they've been a victim or witness of a hate incident.
Well, but then how do you verify that that happened?
So journalists who are part of the project have access to the tips and decide which ones they think look interesting. And then they do their jobs as reporters. So they follow up with the tipster. They call police to get a police report. They talk to witnesses. They see if they can find evidence, if there's vandalism, if there were photos or video taken.
Well, because of social media, we hear this sound now. It's all over the place. And here's a compilation that we pulled together in just a few minutes. It starts with a white woman approaching some black women. Let's listen.
What are we going to talk about tonight? Being hot, being beautiful, being white?
Unless you're spending money, we don't need
Christmas. I'm not spending money? Am I because I'm black?
Tell them to go back where they belong. They come here to live and act like everybody else.
And that last woman was at a store in Pennsylvania. She was talking pretty disparagingly about some Hispanic women who were speaking Spanish. Rachel, what are the categories that you are looking at?
So we look at bias crimes from the same perspective that the FBI does. So if someone is targeted for their race, ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, some also include citizenship status.
Have you been seeing what others have been seeing in the run-up to that terrible shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh? That there's been a rise in crimes related to faith?
Sure. So the Anti-Defamation League released some of their newest data earlier this year, and that's the almost 60% increase that people have been quoting. We are going to get the FBI numbers for 2017 next month. We'll have an even better sense of what kind of trends are potentially happening.
And your partner, the investigative unit, Reveal, reviewed hundreds of your tips in which the president's name was mentioned during an act of hate, and they verified more than 150 incidents. That's become a genre of its own.
They did that story about how Trump's name was included in some sort of incident, whether it was a crime or it was an act of harassment, to use it sort of as a word of an intimidation.
And another example, a man named Amilcar Bermudez, who is undocumented and a Guatemalan. Another worker got angry with him for having more experience and getting paid slightly more and said to him that Donald Trump was going to deport me. Then the man assaulted him and sent him to the hospital. That man was convicted. So a lot of these are very well documented.
Some are, not all are. And unless a person films or records that, those can be a little bit trickier to verify. Assaults obviously are easier to follow up on, particularly because if they got medical treatment or if they reported it to police and there's a police report.
And then there's the category of blank while black, people calling the police on African-Americans. Now we have the landscaper in Texas who was working and the police came because someone called in that they were worried about this African-American bringing his cards to people's doors. What's your sense of that category, which sometimes doesn't rise to the vicious language that someone might use when they're harassing someone, but it's a harassment?
it's very difficult to be able to categorize, and also why we are collecting incidents that might not rise to a level of a crime. For things that might not be considered criminal, like calling the police on someone, that isn't getting tracked by the federal government. So the best way we usually find out about these things is through the media and through people recording them or putting them on social media.
And what do you plan to do with all this?
We want it to be a resource so that reporters can continually do these kind of stories on a regular basis, so that they're thinking about this as an issue that they should be reporting on regularly and not just, say, in the aftermath of one particularly bad incident.
Rachel Glickhouse, partner manager again for the Documenting Hate Project. Rachel, thanks so much.
Thank you.